This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a day to rejoice and to come together as the people of God as we celebrate this All Saints Sunday. It's my joy to welcome you if you're joining us here in the sanctuary or over live stream. We know that the Spirit of Christ unites us as we worship together this morning. And I would ask everyone to take a moment to register your attendance and let us know that you're with us. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. If you're worshiping online, there's a link you can copy and place in your browser that will take you right to the spot to sign in. As we gather this morning, many of our youth are returning from a retreat that they've had this past weekend, so we want to continue to keep them in prayer and hope that they have experienced God in their relationships with one another and in their time together. A few other announcements as we gather this morning. This afternoon from 1 to 3, we'll have an acolyte training. So if you have a third grader or older who is excited and interested in becoming an acolyte, that training will happen this afternoon here in the sanctuary from 1 to 3. Then later this afternoon, we'll be gathering at 4:30. Both of our adult choirs will lead us in a time of worship as they sing Durafle's Requiem in honor of All Saints Day. We hope you'll return for that time together. Next Sunday, the 13th of November, is another Jubilee Sunday, a Sunday when we hope that all who are in town and are able will come and worship in person and connect with one another and make new friends. Those who are worshiping online, if you will worship in real time and share that experience together, it's just a one way, a touch point throughout the year that we can reconnect. And next Sunday is the Sunday when we will be turning in our estimates of giving for 2023, so that's another reason to come together and celebrate in hope. A word about our worship this morning. Our offertory that the choir will be singing was actually written by our very own Ben Troxler, who's a member of the choir. He wrote this piece for West End and in honor of his grandparents, who were some of the saints in his life, Thomas Loeffler, Avanel Redmond, Aubrey, and Odell Troxler. Along with Ben, we remember the saints who have blessed our lives as we gather in this time for worship with all the saints.
our historic faith. We celebrate God's work in our lives today.
And place our trust in God of all futures.
Let us worship the one who brings life out of death.
Let us praise God yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confessions with the confidence of children of God. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Friends, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. You can do that online through the chat or with those around you and here in the sanctuary, however you feel most comfortable. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel, Luke chapter 20, verses 27 through 38. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. The second and the third married her, and so in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For all seven had married her. Jesus said to them, "Those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels and children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God, not of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all of them are alive." the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite any children who'd like to come forward to join me up here for a moment. We're going to have to go all the way around over here because we closed this rail for communion. So I'll meet you down here. And if you're worshiping online, just get a little closer to your screens. So we'll come over this way. Here we go. Let's follow the leader. You can also go that way. Either way, both of them come to the middle. So come on up here. Look at this. Look at everybody. Come on all the way up here. Let's maybe have a seat in between these two tables or up on the stairs. Welcome, welcome, everybody. What a great group we have today. I'm over here. Hey. This is a really, really special day for Christians. Today is called All Saints Sunday, and it's a day when we remember people who have died, and we thank God for them. Now, sometimes in the Bible, they're called saints, all the people who've loved God and who've gone ahead to be with God. And so today we have on the front of our bulletin, we have the names of all the members of our church family who have died this past year, and we remember them. And so I think about some of the people in my life who have died. Both of my parents are gone now. And so when I come to church on an All Saints Sunday, I'm feeling lots of things. I'm feeling sad because I miss my parents. And I think about the people on the cover of our bulletin, and I loved them, and I knew them, and I miss them. And there are lots of folks who miss them. So we feel kind of sad. I also have some questions, like, what is heaven like? What exactly happens when we die? And then I also smile because I have lots of good memories of my parents and of the friends who are listed on our bulletin that makes me happy. And I feel peace because I know they're with God. So all of these things, sadness, questions, happiness, peace, all sorts of feelings I bring with me into church today. And we all do. But you know what? God holds all of these feelings, no matter what we're feeling, and loves us and holds us. So I like to think about this sanctuary as sort of being the arms of God, holding everything we feel and making sure we know that everything's going to be okay and God is with us. And even the people we've loved and lost are still with God and with us in our hearts. Let's pray together. Gracious God, you love us so much and you understand all the feelings that we feel. So when we feel sad or joyful or confused or angry or whatever the feelings we feel, you know and you understand and you hold us all in your loving arms. Help this time of worship today bring comfort and peace to all who are sad and to give us all hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for listening. If you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Aaron and Pastor Chris out the door that way to Children's Church. And if you're older than that, you can return to your seats. Over the course of my ministry, there have been many times when people have asked me questions like, what happens when we die? What do we really believe about the resurrection? What is heaven like? Most of the time, those questions come straight from the heart, a lot of times from children. Children who've lost loved ones and they want to know where Grandma is or where Aunt Judy is. And usually when I respond to that question, especially if I'm talking to children or young people, I say, you know, there's a lot that we don't know. I have a lot of questions that I want to ask God someday. But I do know and believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. And that because of that, we know that death is not the end. It's not the final chapter. That we live forever and ever with God. And we live in God's love and God's peace forever and ever. And I don't know about you, but even with all the questions that remain. That's enough for me. But I'm sure you have some of the same questions, or certainly have been asked some of those questions. It's a natural human wondering, and people have been asking it from the very earliest days of the human race. They were asking it in Jesus' day. They were debating about it, having conversation about it. And it's one of those conversations that we get to overhear this morning in our scripture lesson. Jesus is being confronted by the Sadducees. Now, when they ask Jesus this question about resurrection, it's not a question of the heart. They don't seem to be asking because they really need to know. They're asking to provoke Jesus. They want to trap Jesus, because Luke tells us from the very beginning, this group of folks don't even believe in the resurrection. Let me tell you a little bit more about the Sadducees if you don't know who they were. They were a particular Jewish sect that didn't last much past the first century. They were typically from aristocratic, wealthy families, and theologically, you might say they were conservative, and by that I mean the only books of scripture that they considered authoritative were the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses, the Torah. They didn't look to the prophets or the other writings, and they certainly didn't look to all of the oral tradition that surrounded the Torah to gain wisdom and insight. And so it is because of that that they didn't believe in the resurrection. They couldn't see any evidence for it clearly in the five books of Moses. So they're really not interested in having a genuine, curious conversation with Jesus. They want to trap him. And the question they ask him is, frankly, ridiculous and borderline offensive. You see, there's this law in the book of Moses, just a few verses, that says if a man and woman are married and do not have any children, and then the man dies, if he has a younger brother who is not yet married, it's the responsibility of that younger brother to then marry the woman, so that if they have children, their children will be in the name of and in the family of the older brother. So the Sadducees pose this question. Let's say that happens seven times over, and this woman marries one of seven brothers, and all of them die, and nobody has any children. Who will she belong to in the resurrection? Whose wife will she be? And Jesus' response, man, I love Jesus. And I know you're glad to hear your pastor say that. But his response to this question is so brilliant and so powerful and so beautiful. It's a twofold response, and from it we can get guidance and inspiration and comfort and hope and vision. The first thing he does in responding to the Sadducees' question is to say, in the resurrection, they do not marry and they are not given in marriage. For all children of the resurrection are like angels. They are children of God. You see, the Sadducees had described this system that privileged the life of the oldest brother over others, that said that his life was more worthy than all the others, that would see this woman basically as property to be passed around from one brother to the other. They don't hear the tragedy in the story of this woman. For the Sadducees, she's kind of a joke. But Jesus says, in the kingdom of heaven, all of them are children of God, and there is no hierarchy, there is no ownership, there is no system that uses one to privilege another. And in that response, he gives us guidance, for we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said throughout his ministry that the kingdom of God is among you, that there is with God an eternal now, that we don't have to wait until after we die for all of the dreams of God to be manifest and realized. We live them out now. And so we have our marching orders for us, that we are those who are called to see and treat all people as children of God and to dismantle those systems that privilege some over others. when I look at our list of saints whom we celebrate this morning. I had the privilege this year of standing in that pulpit and telling some of their stories. And I cannot tell you how inspired I was by their witness. From the ways that they treated their clients, their students, their friends, their neighbors, all as children of God. Whoever walked through the door was greeted with love and compassion. From the way Dave Mullendore worked with his clients to the way Walt Johnson greeted his clients who walked in the door to Sarah Stamps and her students, and all of these people lived this out before us. And so we have the example of the saints enfleshing the kingdom of God in our midst. And I give thanks for their witness, and I want to be more like them. Then there's a second part to Jesus' response to these Sadducees. He says to them, and he's so brilliant, he takes an example from the story of Moses. Knowing that they only look to the first five books of Moses for proof and evidence, he takes a story of Moses, and he says, when Moses was in conversation with God at the burning bush, Moses asked God God's name. And one of the ways God responded to that question was to say, I'm the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Not I was the God of Abraham or I was the God of Jacob. I am the God of Abraham. And so you see, Jesus says, God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. For in God they are alive. Again, pointing to this eternal now that is with God. That in God, all of the saints are with us and we are with them. Though they no longer walk this earth with us or are held by the planet or the bodies that we inhabit in this moment, they are yet alive in God now and forever. Jesus points us to this eternal now. And there have been moments in my life, maybe in yours too, when I have glimpsed, felt for a moment, experienced for a breath that eternal now, that oneness of all the saints, held in God's love now, yesterday, and tomorrow. And that gives me comfort. I hope it gives you comfort as well. If you have lost someone you love, someone who was your companion on the journey for a time and is no longer walking alongside of you now, perhaps you know this to be true. They are still within you. Still present. These saints whom we name today are still in our midst, even now. And as people of faith, we are reminded of the truth of what the Apostle Paul said, that the saints that we, even now, live in the eternal love of God, and there is nothing, neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things past, nor things to come, nor angels, nor rulers, nor principalities, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And for that we say, hallelujah, and thanks be to God.
Let us rise in body and spirit and affirm our faith together using the Apostles' Creed, number 881. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I want to invite you to lift both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you that you can place in the offering plates when they are passed by in a few minutes. This morning, we are celebrating the birth of Barbara Babs Kyle Akins, with a beautiful rose on the table, who was born on November 1st to Betsy and James Akins and is also welcomed by her big sister, Ellie Akins. We are also grieving with Betsy Hay and her family, who are mourning the death of her brother, Alec Hay, who passed away on October 30th in a town in Massachusetts that I can't pronounce. His funeral was held there on Friday, November 4th.
Our pastoral prayer this morning comes from the Liturgy of Thomas Cranmer that this congregation has been participating in, especially on All Saints' Day, for many years. And it is a prayer for the state of the whole church, in which we will name aloud each of our saints whom we grieve today. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's church. Merciful God, we humbly beseech thee to receive these our prayers for the universal church, that thou wilt confirm it in the truth of thy holy faith, inspire it with unity and concord, and extend and prosper it throughout the world.
We beseech thee also to guide and strengthen the witness of the church to those in authority in all nations, that they may maintain justice and welfare of all people.
Give grace, O heavenly God, to all ministers of thy church, that both by their life and doctrine they may set forth thy true and lively word and faithfully administer thy holy sacraments.
And to all thy people, give thy heavenly grace that with willing heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their lives.
And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to support and strengthen all those who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. O Lord, we remember with thanksgiving those who have loved and served thee in thy church on earth and who now rest from their labors, especially those most dear to us, whom we name now before thee: Jacqueline Ann Sojourner,
Ed Reynolds Davies Sr.,
Raymond Edward Harrell,
Eloise Georgia Robertson Belote,
Jane Dowden Grams,
Mike Allen Irwin,
Martha Ann Grant Likens,
James Walter Johnson,
Wilson Woody Sims,
Ruby Youngblood Fowinkle,
Kathleen Strong Elder,
Sarah Ann Frost Stamps,
David Harper Mullendore. Keep us in fellowship with all thy saints, and bring us at last with them to the joy of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Lord, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our only mediator and advocate. Amen.
Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen. And when you're here in the sanctuary, we will pass the offering plates down the row. May we give with joy to God who has been so generous to us.
Hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, God. God of the ages, creator of heaven and earth, God of Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar, God of Miriam and Moses, God of Joshua and Deborah, God of Ruth and David, God of the priests and the prophets, God of Mary and Joseph, God of the apostles and the martyrs, God of our mothers and our fathers, God of our children to all generations. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered together, and on these gifts of bread and the cup, Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Of children of God, let us pray together the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
My family in Christ, this is the body of Christ, broken and given in love to you and to me and to all the world. And this is the blood of Christ, the cup of grace and salvation for all. The table is set, and our host awaits us all. Our host is Jesus Christ himself, and all are welcome at this table. You do not have to be United Methodist or a member of this congregation. You don't have to be anything at all. You are invited, and you are welcome. If this is your first time receiving communion in this particular congregation, we invite you, as you are able, to come forward by the center aisle. Our friends in the choir will be served first, then those in the balcony and the transept, and then the rest of us remaining in the nave. If you'll kneel at the altar rails as you're able and have your hands open, that will help our servers to know that you are still awaiting to be served. You're then welcome to stay and kneel in prayer as long as you would like and return to your seats as you feel led. If you are unable to come forward, or if you would prefer a prepackaged communion elements, I'll be making my way around the sanctuary, and just wave to me and I will bring you those elements. All of our elements this morning are gluten-free. As we come forward, we always have an opportunity to give to one of the missions of our church, and this month's communion offering goes to support Tennessee Justice for Our Neighbors, which provides affordable, high-quality immigration legal services to immigrants, educates the public and faith-based communities about issues related to immigration, and advocates for our neighbors who are immigrants. Jesus invites us. The bread and the cup are for you and for all the world. May we experience the communion of the saints, the great cloud of witnesses that is even now in our midst. Thank you. us give thanks for what we have just received. Let us pray. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
Amen.
Thank you.
feel them among us. The communion of the saints, the eternal now. We join our voices with them as we sing our praises to the God whose love never ends. Having been embraced by that God, let us go back out into this world to live into the kingdom of God with all our might. And may we go in the peace that passes all understanding. Amen.